If you have your Bible here this night, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 2. If you don't have your Bible, the verses will be on the screens for you can follow along with us here this night. Amen. I mean, know the weather's getting a little cooler out there. Amen. So tonight, let's take advantage of going to the streets and looking for lost souls. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The title for tonight's message is, we're still in the theme of discipleship, disciple making, and not just remaining disciples, but becoming disciplers of the Lord and getting to the place of teaching others to be followers of the Lord. Amen? The title for this night's message is, True Discipleship Brings Godly Favor. And we're going to find out here this night how true discipleship, when you're in obedience, doing the right thing, how it not only brings the favor with God, but it also brings favor with man. Amen? So sometimes we can get so heavenly good that we're no earthly good. We can pray, read the Bible a lot and everything, but if we don't get with people and share with them what God has shown us and taught us, amen, what good is all knowing all the Bible, spending time with Jesus, if you're not going to put it into practice in reaching onto somebody's life, amen? True discipleship brings godly favor. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 2. Very familiar story, amen. This takes place in the life of Jesus when he was just 12 years old. He was young, amen. And his dad, Joseph, and his mother, Mary, amen, were taking him to one of the feast of the Passover, amen. As we pick up in, let's go to verse 41, and we're going to read all the way to verse 52, just in case you got the story, you can familiarize yourself with it before I break it down, amen? Luke chapter 2, verse 41. The Bible reads, every year his parents went to Jerusalem. Man tells me there were godly parents, amen, Joseph and Mary. Every year, the Bible says, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. 42 says, when he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day. Then they began looking for him among the relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this?" They were mad, amen? "Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." 45 is just 12 years old, amen? "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Verse 50 says, "But they did not understand what he was saying to them." Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. I pray that you remove me to the side here this night, Lord. Speak to sons and daughters, Lord. In your precious name, we pray and we all sing one accord. Amen. Here in 49, verse 49, the Bible says that Jesus responded, "Why were you searching for me?" He asked, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Usually I put here, when you're searching for one of your children, is because they're not where they should be. Amen? You left them at a certain place, somebody's house, at a certain part in the church. You go back and they're not there. And where's my child? And we run frantic looking for our child. And then, if you were like me, when I started growing up in high school, my mom or dad would find out that I would start going out, and they would be calling all my friends' parents, have you seen Charlie? Have you seen Charlie? And they would actually be searching for me because I wasn't in bed where I should be. So usually when parents go searching for their children, they're usually not where they should be. Amen? Here, Jesus, within this story, was only 12 years old. And he responds as an adult. Being 12 years old, it wasn't as if he was being disobedient and being smart with his mom and dad. There was something that was already taking place within his young life that had been prophesied from the Old Testament. Amen? And he tells his mother, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" In the King James Version, there in verse 31, same verse, 49, but in a different translation. And he said unto them, "How is it that you sought me? With ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" So that NIV translation says that he had to be in his Father's house. The King James Version goes on to say that he had to be upon his Father's business. Once again, he's only 12 years old. But in their time, in custom at that time, a 12-year-old, you were considered a man. At 12 years old, you were considered a man. And here at 12 years old, Jesus' purpose within his life was already stirring. He was already known. He told his mother, "Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house? Didn't you know that I had to be," in another translation says, "upon my Father's business?" I put here, when you are a disciple of the Lord, there will be an urgency within you to be in your Father's house, to come to church. Whether you're young, older in age, or whatever your age may be, there's an urgency within you for the call of God that is within your life. Now think about it here this night. If you really had your way, the way you would want to do it, how many would have really come to church tonight? If you would have be doing things the old way, wanting rest, wanting to go eat somewhere else or do something else, but there was an urgency within your life. And by the leading of the Holy Spirit, knowing what is right from wrong, you said, "Man, I got to be in my Father's house this night. I got to be upon my Father's business here this night." Though we would love to take a break or to physically rest, we know there's an urgency within us that we must not only be in our Father's house, but upon our Father's business. Not just here to hear the word of the Lord, but to be a doer of the word of the Lord. There should not only be an urgency to be in church here this night, but to be part of your Father's business. Doing his will. Jesus responded to his mother, "Didn't you know?" But verse 51 says, "Then he went down to Nazareth with them." Oh, that's not the one. 51. 50. It was verse 50. I put 51. That was my mistake, Neil. Can you get 50? Oh, there you go. In verse 4, he says, "Didn't you know that I would be in my Father's house?" But verse 50 says, "But they did not understand what he was saying to them." Could you imagine? The 12-year-old knew what time it was and the parents didn't. And a lot of times, this is why we live in a messed up time right now. It's not that the kids don't know better, it's that the parents don't know better. The parents don't understand the call of God upon their lives, the call of God upon their children. He says, "But they did not understand what he was saying to them about being in his Father's house." He was telling Mary this, but Joseph, "What do you mean, Father? I thought I was your father." You gotta see it. Mary and Joseph were there. They finally found him. Now it looks like he's running at the mouth, being smart. And Joseph was like, "Being your father's house? We've been looking for you for 3 days. I'm just thinking out loud, Joseph. I am your father. We're everywhere but at our house right now." And the Bible says in verse 50 that they did not understand what he was saying to them, even though every year, the Bible says in verse 44, that his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. Tells me he can come to church month after month, year after year, and still not understand what the Lord is saying to you. Still stay at the same place in your spiritual growth. We need to be careful here this night that we understand what the Lord is asking for within our lives. And we need to also understand that a lot of times family will interrupt the call of God upon your life. Here, mom and dad were interrupting the call of God upon Jesus at 12 years old. And I believe all through the city of Milwaukee, that the parents are not understanding the time and the darkened time that we live in. And they're trying to educate their children. They're doing their best, but they're leaving Jesus out of it. The call of Jesus out of their children's lives. I'm just looking at Joseph there being in your father's house. But he was saying, "Boy, I am your father. I am your daddy." It says that they did not understand what he was saying to them. You got to be in the story, man. You got to be in the moment. Verse 44 to 46 says, "So when he got lost, thinking that he was in their company," it was a great group of people, amen, going back home. The Bible says they had traveled for a day, 24 hours. Amen, that means they trusted their 12-year-old son. Amen, he didn't have to be right next to them. That it was a day, they traveled for a day, then they began looking for him among their relatives. They went and checked out all the relatives, no Jesus. All their friends, no Jesus. Go to 45. "When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him. In other words, Jesus was missing for 3 days. I think any parent, even if their 17-year-old was missing for 3 days, would fall to pieces, amen, would start getting real hysterical, amen. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Here at this point of finding him 3 days, even though he was in the temple courts, it was as if my Bianca that was playing the keyboard tonight at 17 years old was to be missing for 3 days. And I walk into church all hysterical and I see her playing the keyboard, I would still be mad at her. Even if she's playing the keyboard, acting like everything's okay, like I'm crazy or something. Like what? I'm playing the keyboard, I'm in church. So that's what this is what Joseph and Mary walked up on. 3 days had gone by. They were frantic, they were crazy, they were losing it. His parents were frantic and crazy, I put here, for not being able to find their 12-year-old son for 3 days. See, today we can put it on Facebook. You can call the police. You can do all kinds of stuff to find your kids nowadays. Call the hospital, call the police station. Back then, they were on foot. I put here, trouble had divided the promise of God for the life of Jesus through his parents. A lot of time when we face trouble, hard times, the enemy will try to seize the moment in our times of trouble and bringing a division within our thinking, within our life, within our hearts about the calling of God upon our lives. And here Jesus at 12 was doing what he was supposed to be doing without permission from his parents, but full permission from God Almighty. And there's times that family is not going to understand the call of God upon your life. My parents took many years to understand why I would want to help drug addicts and prostitutes when I had messed up in my life. They couldn't make sense of it. They didn't understand the call of God that was upon my life. And a lot of times, family, even with a pure motive, but with the lack of understanding, in ignorance, will interfere with the call of God upon your life. Verse 45 says that they looked for him amongst the friends and the relatives. For a whole day they were out their son. And 45 says, when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. I put here, sometimes we got to go back to the promises of God to find our way. Mary and Joseph went back to the last place they saw him in the physical, and that was Jerusalem. That was Jerusalem. They had been gone for a day. By the time they got back, by the time they traveled back, by the time they actually found him, 3 days had gone by. They went back to the place where they last saw him, which was going backwards, Jerusalem. As we go to the book of Luke chapter 1, one chapter, as we go backwards 12 years, amen? See, Jesus asked his mother, didn't you know that I would be in my Father's house? Didn't you know that I would be upon my Father's business? In Luke chapter 1, this is where Mary, the Virgin Mary, had an encounter with the angel of the Lord, where it all first took place, speaking on the person called Jesus. Here the angel of the Lord comes to the Virgin Mary. In verse 31, I pick it up. It says, the angel of the Lord tells her, you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Here the angel of the Lord's given her all the revelation before the birth of Jesus. Amen? He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing, verse 37 says, for nothing is impossible with God. 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. See, a lot of times we got to go back to what has already been spoken unto our lives to find our way, to find our purpose. And here, Mary was going back in the physical to the last place she had seen her son, Jesus. A lot of times we try to understand what God is doing in the physical. We try to understand through our logic, through our thinking, on how God is operating, how he's moving, what he's doing in our life, in one of our family's lives. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we can try to understand God, who is spirit, through the natural ability of the flesh. Here, Jesus would tell Mary, did you not know? At 12 years old, he was trying to bring his mother back to remembrance in what the angel of the Lord had told her, that she would have a son, and that his name would be Jesus, and that he would do great things. Sometimes, for some of us, we got to go back 12 years to the promise that God gave us to get back on track to the calling that God has placed on our, the purpose that God has placed upon our lives. For some of you, it might be 12 years you got to go back to when the angel of the Lord spoke to you when you were in church, whether it was on the South Side Church, this church on 18th and Mitchell. Sometimes we got to go back where the person of the Holy Spirit spoke to you, even though you were young in the things of the Lord. Or where the promise came to your parents. I've spoken to a lot of parents. My son's been prophesied over. My daughter's been prophesied over. And, you know, this is the promise and this is the calling upon their lives. But then trouble comes and they forget the promises of God. They get diverted. Division takes place within their mind, within their life. I believe in my spirit that Jesus was not the one that was lost for 3 days, but Mary and Joseph was lost. A lot of times you can say, my son, my daughter is lost and bound. But could it be the other way around? The reason they're lost and bound is because I didn't bring them up in the things of the Lord. I thought at 12 years old, the things of the Lord was too deep for them to understand. And we go with our thinking. I really believe that Mary and Joseph were the ones that were lost. I could see how they would become frantic and concerned for their 12-year-old son. I could see even them being still mad, finding their son in the court, the temple courts. But when Jesus told his mother, didn't you know? Something should have clicked in the life of Mary. Sometimes trouble has to come for us to once again find our purpose. Sometimes we got to go through some hard things to once again be operating on the calling of God that He has placed upon our lives. Mary had to go back 12 years. Not 1 day, but 12 years to the promise of God that the angel of the Lord had told her about her very own son that was soon to be. His name would be Jesus. And that the Father was God. It wasn't Joseph. Sometimes you find yourself going back a lot, and it's just God's way of putting you back into perspective, putting you back into the calling, bringing you back into remembrance of what hath been spoken unto your life, whether it was 12 years ago, 10, 5, just last year. Sometimes you need to go back to be brought into remembrance to what was spoken to you in spirit, not in the physical. Mary wasn't just any ordinary parent, mother. She was the mother of Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, as we go back to the story, getting close to finishing, I just think somebody needs to hear this tonight. When I'm going through my storms, the Lord will always take me back. He always takes me back in a good way, not a bad way, in a good way. Back to remembrance. When He spoke to me while I was still in prison, before I was even saved, that He was going to use my life. I got to go back to those times when I knew the preacher wasn't preaching and I was in a prison bed and nobody was preaching, nobody was laying hands on me. It was the Lord bringing calling upon my life before it had even started. And there's times that we got to go back to be brought back to the remembrance of the truth of what the Lord has says that we're going to do for His glory and for His honor. Even if it brings confusion to the family. Even if it brings confusion to this family as brothers and sisters here. We not only have our home, sweet home, that we drive back to tonight, but this is also family here. And sometimes there can be confusion in the church where we disagree. But we always got to go back to the fact that God has called us. In Luke chapter 2, verse 51, the Bible reads, then He went down to Nazareth, amen, back home, with them and was obedient to them. Jesus could have said, man, mom, I don't even know what time. Dad don't even. Man, I'm 12 years old and I know more than my mom and dad does. No, the Bible records that he went back to Nazareth, back to his hometown, in obedience to them, which represents his parents. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother, I think as they were going back, I guess she felt better. They found their son. But all of a sudden, I believe she started reflecting. Man, I should have known that. I should have known better. She was feeling better. They're on their way back home. And the Bible reads, but his mother treasured all these things in her heart. It was like she was brought back to remembrance. How many of us have ever struggled? You want somebody at church and we struggle. And the Lord says they're going to come. And before you know it, they're up there, you know, they're here at church or what have you. And the Lord says something like, I told you. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. That was twofold. One, she was happy going back home, found Jesus. And the other side of that, I believe, was she remembered. She went back 12 years, be way beyond the 3 days, amen, that her son was lost. Verse 52. And Jesus grew. Whenever you're in obedience, you will grow. Amen. Bible says he was in obedience. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. When you're in obedience, in your father's house, upon your father's business, the favor of God will come upon your life. You will win favor with God. To confirm that it's a favor of God, because many win a religious relationship with God, but they never get to the place of having that favor with men. Men here meaning everybody, the brothers, sisters, children of the church. When you have true favor of God, it's not only going to be with him. He don't need favor, amen? We need favor. We need disciples. We need disciplers. If men and women and the youth of this church are going to grow in the things of the Lord and understand their gifts and the calling upon their lives. But the Bible reads that Jesus grew. And in favor with God and men. You need to ask yourself, do you believe that you're in the favor, in it good with God here this night? By your actions lately, can you say, I'm in good with the Lord here this night? My relationship, my time that I spend with him, could you say that you're in good with the Lord this night? And then I want you to ask yourself, could you say that you're in good? Do you have favor with men and women and youth here in the church? Or at your house with your brothers and sisters? What's the favor looking like? See, this is where we need discipleship taking place within the church. There's no good in praying all day and reading all day if we're not going to connect with people. We need to learn how to connect with people. Here Jesus learned how to connect with those in the temple courts, relatives, friends, the crowd. But he also knew how to connect with mom and dad, even though Joseph was his stepdad, so to speak. Jesus learned how to connect. Amen. And I believe if we're going to grow this church, we're going to have to grow in the favor of connecting with one another. Because when you're in good with the Lord, there should be an urgency within your life, not just to be in the house of God, where the Lord's at, but also to be upon his business and winning the lost and the bound over unto him. Amen? As we stand this beautiful night, if I could kindly please have just a worship song. I don't want to be a lost Christian. I don't want to be a Christian that can't lead the lost to Jesus, because I can't connect with them. I was lost and bound when I was outside the perfect will of the Father. But I've been found. Through God's grace and mercy, you've been found. Through God's grace and mercy. And he's asking us to grow, not only with him, but also with others. If we're going to be effective, successful disciple makers, whatever the song is. The ambassadors of Jesus. We are to speak the very words of Jesus, not only to God, but to the men and women and youth of the church. We are supposed to have the words of Jesus to connect with people in the church, to love one another, be one of the many parts that make up his body that he is the head of. Tell the Lord here this night, I want to be able to connect with you, God. I want a relationship with you. Tell the Lord here this night, and as that relationship is established, I want to be able to connect with people, even the people that are not perfect, a people that are all messed up. I'm going to need your compassion, your love, your grace and mercy to connect with the lost and the bound. Jesus, I know what you've called me to do. Allow me to be in obedience unto you and unto the people, fulfilling the purpose and why you saved me and why you called me was to be fishermen of men. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to open up the altars here this night.